Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve. Greetings, radio family. This is Sister Judith, and I thank the Lord you're able to join me for the broadcast today. With the Lord's help, we're continuing a message I began on yesterday's broadcast, which I've entitled New Insights into the Prophetic Ministry. And we began to look at the ministry of the prophet. And while it is true, Ephesians specifically talks about the fivefold ministry, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which are given for the edifying of the body of Christ, for the to enable them to do the work of the ministry. Yet, as a generation, as a people, we are being called to declare God's will and His ways to this generation. Now, that doesn't mean everyone is in the office of a prophet, but as Paul very clearly outlines to the Corinthians, we all may prophesy as we follow, as far as a meeting, follow the guidelines that he established when he wrote to that church. But as a people, we should be able to minister and understand and know God's heart, to be able to minister to those who have no answers today, those who are increasingly confused and distressed and disturbed because the world offers no solutions. And we are a people who will be able to declare the reality of Jesus Christ and His truth to those who have ears to hear. And so, beloved, we have to understand that as speaking about the office of the prophet, there is a uniqueness in that particular ministry office. He identifies, or she identifies, with God and His heart and desires in a special way. And it's that ministry of the prophet is distinct from the other fivefold ministry offices. Others, if you can hear this, are horizontal in their working. They relate to the administrating of the organism of the church, the ecclesia, the body of Christ. They deal with people. Certainly, that's what an evangelist does, to bring people into the kingdom. The teacher, the pastor, they're certainly dealing with people, and apostles are sent ones of the Lord. Missionaries are basically apostolic as they go into new areas, new lands, to raise up churches and to preach foundational Christian doctrine. So, but they are dealing with people, whereas the prophet is especially tuned to hear the heart of God and His timing. And the apostle, of course, implements divine vision. But the wonderful part about it, beloved, regardless of what we are called to do in the body of Christ, whether it's a fivefold ministry office, that of an intercessor, that for administration or helps, or all the various giftings that are available to us, that God equips us, that we can be a blessing to the body of Christ and to others, are that no one is superior, that we are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, going back to that, the uniqueness of the prophet, God spoke to Aaron and Miriam, and this was in Numbers 12 and 6, and He said, "Is there a prophet among you? I will make myself known unto him in a vision. I will speak to him in a dream." And in 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, verse 21, the word says, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed Himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord." Now, that word appeared in the Hebrew, it has numerous applications, literally as well as figuratively. The word is ra'ah, and it's to see, to make, to discern, to enjoy, to have experience, to take heed, to perceive. to regard, to respect, to be sensitive, intuitive, discerning. So there's a lot of shades of meaning to that particular word. That word, to be intuitive or have intuition, we use that frequently in our English conversation. And what does that mean? It means an immediate apprehension or cognition, the power or faculty of attaining to direct knowledge or cognition without evident rational thought and inference. Now, that's a pretty technical definition, but it's quick and ready insight. Women tend, or not necessarily women, but sometimes they just know things. It's their intuition. Well, that's what that is. It's something beyond rational logic or thought. Is just sort of a knowing that comes to, we've all had that experience. And what I'd like to do now is to take some time to look at the life and ministry of Samuel, just to share some observations and reflections in relation to the tabernacle of David, because that's what God is doing in this hour. He's raising up the tabernacle of David. Now, Samuel was the last of the judges. And if you recall, in 1 Samuel, we see a depiction of his mother, Hannah, who was barren, and she cried out to the Lord to have a child, and she promised she would dedicate him to the Lord. Well, that's exactly what happened. God caused her to bear Samuel, and she committed him, after he was weaned, to Eli, who was high priest at that time, and he began to learn the ways of the Lord. And that was because she was willing to do that. God had blessed her with other children. But he was the last of the judges, and he was the first to institute a training school for prophets. It was located at Ramah during his lifetime, and later it extended to Bethel, to Jericho, to Gilgal, and elsewhere. We may have remembered that phrase, the son of the prophets, as we go into the life and ministries of Elijah and Elisha. That was continued. And they were, the school of the prophets were very successful, and they were institutions that from the time of Samuel to Malachi, there was never a lack of official prophets. The schools, what they did, would gather consecrated, promising students, and they trained them for office. And what was the chief curriculum? Well, it was the Mosaic Law and interpretation of that law, because that was what God gave to the children of Israel. Remember, on Mount Sinai, Moses received the commandments, he received the law, it was written down, those, you know, the Torah, the five first books of the Bible, and That was what they studied and caused the people of God to understand the commands and statutes of the Lord. However, not all of the inspired prophets were graduates of this school of the prophets, such as Amos. He was called to the prophetic office, but he wasn't trained in the schools of the day. In fact, let's look at that seventh chapter in the book of Amos. Amos is, he was talking or speaking in the king's court, and verse 14 says, "Then answered Amos, and he said to Amaziah, I was no prophet, neither was I a prophet's son, but I was a herdsman and a gatherer of sycamore fruit. And the Lord took me as I followed the flock, and the Lord said unto me, Go prophesy unto my people Israel." And that's exactly what he did. So we see, even though there was a well-established pattern of prophets in the Old Testament times, they didn't necessarily have to be, they didn't have to go to this school of the prophets. We see this, for example, in the life of Amos. And that's true today. God uses people that may not necessarily have a seminary education, they may not have been to Bible college, but if God, whom God calls, he qualifies. Now, what was the purpose? Well, under the Mosaic dispensation, the priesthood was ordained for the teaching ministry. And this oral teaching was transferred from the priests to the prophetic office established with Samuel. Now, why did that happen? Why did it go from the priests to the prophets, if you will? Well, because we can see in the book of 1 Samuel that as Samuel was being trained as a young boy that Eli's sons had corrupted the priesthood with sacrilege. And so the school of the prophets, the sons of the prophets, were not a substitute but a supplement for the appointed agency that had failed to function. Let me just turn over to that book of 1 Samuel, and let me go to that first. Well, let's see, it's the second chapter, verse 12. The word says, "Now the sons of Eli," that was the sons of Eli, the high priest, "were the sons of Belial. They knew not the Lord. And the priest's custom with the people was that when any man offered sacrifice, the priest's servant came while the flesh was seething with a flesh hook of his three teeth in his hands." And in verse 15 it says, "And before they burnt the fat, the priest's servant came and said to the man that sacrificed, 'Give flesh to roast for the priest, for he will not have sodden flesh of thee, but raw.'" And it goes on in verse 17 to say, "Wherefore the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men abhorred the offering of the Lord." And so we see that there was wickedness in the camp of the Lord, if you will, in very high places. And then in that 17th chapter, excuse me, no, in verse 17, that's where I read that the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord. And in the word of the Lord in Isaiah 16 and 5, it says, "And in mercy shall the throne be established, and he shall sit upon it in truth, in the tabernacle of David, judging and seeking judgment and hasting righteousness." God will not be mocked. He is looking for purity and integrity of heart. And so I see my time is flown, and we must bring this broadcast to a close. On tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to be looking at the prophetic ministry parallels between the life of Samuel and this present generation and God's destiny in your life. So I invite you to tune in, but for now, I invite you to write and share your prayer requests. The announcer will give our contact information. I do want to thank you so much for your prayer support, and if the Lord moves on you financially, God bless you, because it's the free will offerings of God's people that have allowed us to stay in continuous radio ministry for over 50 years. God bless you. Thank you. And until tomorrow, this is Sister Glass saying, may God's best forever be yours, is my prayer.
Well, this has been the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Sister Glass. Thank you for spending time with us. We pray it's been a time of ministry and encouragement for you. If you would like to write to Sister Glass, there are a couple of ways you can do so. You can write and address your envelope to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code, or visit our website, unveiledchrist.org, and drop Sister Glass an email. Again, write to Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho, 83606, or send her an email through our website, unveiledchrist.org. And please remember that your prayers and tax-deductible support allow this ministry to continue on this station. Until next time, God bless. Oh.